Now let us bow our heads in prayer with Brother Macaulay.
O God, our Father in heaven, glorious in holiness, righteous in judgment, we come before Thee, dear Father, in reverence and humility, as we come to the end of this convention and look back to the way in which Thou hast led us, provided us for all things needful for us. Truly great is Thy faithfulness. And now, as we come here at this time, the prayer of our hearts, the burden of our heart, is what shall I surrender unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? For truly Thou hast blessed our sessions here. Thou hast blessed Thy servants whom Thou hast used to feed the flock of God. And now, as we come to the close, we look to Thee, who art the God of all grace and the Father of mercy and truth. And we pray for Thy blessing upon us as we separate one from the other here. May the angel of Thy presence watch over us as we journey to our several places of abode. Watch over us and keep us. Bring us safely to our haven of rest. And we pray, dear Father, for the dear ones who have not been privileged to be with us. We pray for Thy blessing upon them and upon all who love and serve Thee, all who are in Christ through Thee. And now we commit ourselves into Thy loving care. Bless us individually and collectively. May Thy word of truth have free course, and Thy name be glorified. Bless this final session of the convention, and guide us and keep us in the hollow of Thy hand until the day dawns and the shadows flee away. We ask and give Thee all the praise through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Well, brethren, this is the part that we have not been looking forward to, which is the last session of our 1970 General Convention. We know that there always must be an end to things on this side of the veil, but we know that that will soon pass away. Well, Brother Mike Balkle is here to address us on this subject, which is, My Goal is Christ. And I'm sure that it will be a wonderful blessing to us. So now we will turn the meeting over to Brother Mike Balkle.
Thank you, Brother Hagensick. I'm sure that I speak for each heart out there this evening that we have been drawn closer and closer to our Heavenly Father, and especially in this last half-hour session of the music that brought us into His hallowed presence. Many times I feel that music is like a prayer to our Father, that sometimes we can't utter in our hearts, but we can say it with music. And I think that the thoughts were here expressed so beautifully that draw us nearer and dearer to our Father. And as I sat out there and listened to that music, it kind of took me beyond the veil a little bit, and thinking that our Father, that His countenance indeed is shining down upon us, that we feel His loving, tender care, that we indeed feel His hallowed presence in each of our hearts. My goal is Christ and Christ alone. You know, brethren, the word goal is defined as the terminal of a race, the end towards which much effort is directed. And I think it's a fitting description for the goal on which the true Christian, in which we are all directing our efforts towards that end, and that we are looking to finish our race in the narrow way, that we are looking to that end. We are looking to that finish, to be like Him and to see Him as He is. Yes, indeed, that is our goal, and it can be reached only by patient endurance. You know, if one were a great sculptor, he would take himself a great piece of marble, and he would visualize in his mind the object of beauty that he would wish to create with that piece of marble. And I think that the sculptor must have a very clear and a very definite conception in his mind as to what that object should look like when he has it finished. And then he would begin with much tedious hours of patient work with hammer and chisel upon this slab of marble, and with much patience would he toil until this piece of beauty that he had envisioned in his mind became a reality, and finally he could look upon it as the finished portion of his creation. And so it is with the children of God. We have been given a picture of a masterpiece of beauty. And I think that each one of us as individuals look at that finished piece of beauty from our own individual minds. And as we see it from different aspects, we each one have a certain appreciation for that beauty that we see. And that is the perfected Lord. We have this image before us. And our Heavenly Father has given each one of us the needed material for us to fashion a similar image. And He has given to each one of us His precious promises and the Holy Spirit of truth. And so we must then labor for the attainment of that vision. Carefully, patiently, prayerfully, all the days of our lives, until that work is finished and we have achieved the perfect copy of His dear Son. But in order for us to become, to accomplish this work, it is needful for us, each one individually, to subscribe to a certain pattern. We must have a loving, grateful submission to the whole heart and life to God. We must always have a resolute purpose. We must have fixed principles of action. Unless our hearts be in a right attitude, it would be impossible to receive the seal of God. The stony heart would not take to the divine imprint. Neither could the unstable or the double-minded man have the seal of God stamped upon his heart. The double-minded man wouldn't have the cohesive quality of stability necessary to walk in the narrow way. And in order to emphasize this thought here this evening, we would like to quote from the first chapter of James, beginning with the 6th to the 8th verses. We're going to use the Phillips translation, which we find expresses the thought which we desire to accomplish. James says unto us, but he must ask in sincere faith, without secret doubts, as to whether he wants God's help or not. The man who trusts God, but with the inward reservations, is like a wave of the sea carried forward by the wind one moment and then driven back the next. That sort of man cannot hope to receive anything from the Lord, and the life of a man of divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn. That there is a battle between the natural mind with its inherited weaknesses and the renewed mind that desires to serve the law of God, I'm sure that we're all aware of. These two minds we know are contrary one to the other, and they cannot be harmonized. These two minds cannot rule the one body. The new mind only must be its successive or successful ruler. The new mind urges you and I to press for what is right. It urges us to press for what is truth. It urges us to press for what is motivated by the Spirit of God. This new mind should have free course, opposing every thought which is not in harmony with the principles of righteousness. And this is just the place where the old nature, fearing its own extermination, proposes compromise. And it proposes peace. The old nature says, well, let's make peace together. Let's me and you compromise. I'll go a little bit here and you give a little bit there. and we'll get along good together. The old nature may make us feel that self-denial is too costly, for self-denial oftentimes means the breaking of ties, of tender ties, and the end of long-cherished ambitions. It may tell us that people will say we are fools, for the new mind is so unlike the natural and desires things so much different from the rich customs and the traditions of the world. The old nature may promote peace under the disguise that the old nature isn't so bad. It has reformed, so to speak. So perhaps a compromise can be good for us in matters of dress, matters of amusement, business, and so on. A happy medium. These suggestions, brethren, are exactly what the Apostle James is here warning us against. Double-mindedness is the compromising disposition. The lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, neither for sin or against sin, neither for wrong or for righteous principles. This is not the copy that we are trying to mold. Our Heavenly Father wants absolute positive characters. For a double-minded person can neither be approved of or accepted. It is true that we can never fully control the old mind while we are in the flesh. But we must always strive to control it. We must always, daily, every conscious moment of our lives, strive to keep the mind of the flesh under control. Even as our Heavenly Father can see that inconsistency, can see this wavering, the double-minded person can feel the lack of stability, and he is really not happy, because he will find that the world thinks he is a hypocrite, for he professes to believe one way and does another. Not only is he disapproved of by God, but the world disapproves of. The Apostle Paul puts the matter another way in the 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 21st verse. Now you notice, brethren, both the apostles here had the same thought. Both the apostles knew our Lord Jesus even in the days of his flesh. But yet, in presenting the matter, they both presented it two different ways. Now, Paul tells us, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You cannot serve God and men. Either we serve the adversary with his cup of deceptions and delusions and the spirit of the world, or else we serve the true and living God with the cup of truth and with the cup of righteousness, and no one can halt between the two. He must choose one or the other. He cannot drink a little of the Lord's cup and sup from his table and take a little from the world's cup. And how good it is to be single-minded, to sup at the Lord's table. The table of the Lord is so richly set with such bountiful, bountiful provisions. Sometimes these provisions are referred to as the bread of life. Sometimes these provisions are referred to as meat in due season, honey in the honeycomb, milk, sometimes is referred to as the crystal clear, pure water of life. These are bountiful provisions from the Lord's table, and all so richly, richly provided by the Lord and dispensed to you and to me at the hands of those whom the Lord has presented to serve at his table. And I'm sure that each one of you here feel as I do, that for this past week we have been sitting and supping at the Lord's table, being served by His appointed servants. And we had some wonderful, wonderful meals. We have been shown the beauty of the eternal God, the self-existing One, that it is indeed a great privilege for you and I to be called into fellowship with His own dear Son. And our acceptance of Him should prompt us to a life of sacrifice and a life of obedience. Our acceptance of Him should bring us great responsibility to the Word of God. We realize, brethren, that He is the great designer of the divine plan of the ages, and therefore we must not take His word lightly. It is a grievous thing to misrepresent the word of God. It is a grievous thing to misrepresent the character of our Heavenly Father. It is indeed a grievous thing to substitute to the traditions of men for His word. Oh yes, brethren, make no mistake about it. The adversary is a wily foe, as the flesh is also, and the world. We must ever be on the alert that we draw not attention to ourself, but to the Lord and to the Word of God. We are cautioned not to be hearers of the Word only, but we should seek to apply His Word to our lives. And we can't do these things unless we study His Word diligently, rightly dividing His Word and applying His instructions to our lives. Thus it becomes, with each one of us, a transforming power. And His ways in prompting us to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit. Let us keep in mind, brethren, that each one of us should walk with God and not walk before Him or after Him, but walk with Him. This walk is not easy, for He will test our faith, He will test our love, and He will test our obedience, even as He tested His own dear Son. Yet we are promised that He will not test us above or permit us to suffer beyond our endurance, that His word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And in this walk we have the blessed company of all our co-laborers in Christ Jesus. It has indeed been a privilege for me to be here this week and to have each one of you hold my hand and to lift me up. It has been a privilege, brethren, to share with you, each one, your prayer. And oh, how much we have felt your prayers in recent experiences. that truly our Heavenly Father has lifted us up, that He has helped us over the treacherous shoals, that He has given us strength in our every time of need, and that He has reassured us of His presence in our time of need. And though each one of us come from a variety of different backgrounds, all of these backgrounds, all this variety is blended together by the Holy Spirit. And each of these different characters that came here to this convention, that oil of gladness, that wonderful Holy Spirit blended us together so beautifully. And we enjoyed each other's company, and we enjoyed lifting each other up by the hand. The formula for Christian unity, Christ's likeness, there is no other. There is no other formula for unity amongst the brethren except it be Christ's likeness. That I want to be like my Lord. That you want to be like your Lord. Unless all things are done and are said in His Spirit of Christ, we are indeed, or we would be indeed, as sounding brass. But brethren, be not weary in well-doing, but let us consider Him our Master. Consider the faithful procession of His people. And let us always remember that if we be dead with Him, we shall live with Him. If we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. Oh, we believe it. We have faith that these words are true, for they are the words of God. They are the promises of God given to you and to me. Oh, indeed, we have been fed from this bountiful table. And what course shall we take after we have heard such wonderful things? Again, we go to James, 1st chapter, 22nd verse. But be ye doers of His word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. One who simply hears the word of God and does nothing about it is like a man who catches his reflection of his own face in a mirror. He sees himself and goes on with whatever he was doing without paying any attention to the sort of person that he saw in the mirror. But the man who looks into the perfect mirror of God's law, the law of liberty, and makes a habit of so doing, makes a habit of looking into the perfect mirror, the law of God, is not the man who sees and forgets. He puts the law into practice and he wins true happiness. Let us, brethren, go often to the perfect mirror of God's law. You know, a listless person is one who contents himself with faith in Christ, but makes no effort to bring his life into conformity with the teachings of Christ. The blessings of the Lord lie with those who seek to apply His instructions in their lives. The blessings of our Lord lie with those who are faithful in proclaiming the message of truth and who truly appreciate this wonderful message. The blessings of the Lord lie with those who patiently wait upon the Lord, upon those who patiently endure with the Lord. Though it be with trial, or though it be through tribulation, though it be through tears of joy or tears of sorrow, the blessings of the Lord lie with those who gladly sacrifice their little all, even unto death. The blessings of the Lord lie with those who seek after Him, who seek righteousness, who seek mercy, who seek truth, who seek to be patient and loving and enduring in all things. The blessings of the Lord lie with those who will take up the hand of their brother and to help him, to lift him up when he stumbleth. Indeed, brethren, may these admonitions or encouragements of James continue with us to the end of the race, when we can truly say, my goal is Christ and Christ alone. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And again we quote James, 1st chapter, 17th and 18th verse. Oh, and I think it's so beautiful. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. It was God's will that begat us, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature, of His creatures. Indeed, He's working out of this earth, by His own will, a new creation to take unto His own name. Indeed, does that not humble us to realize that the Creator of all goodness and mercy, that He has called you and I out of this world of turmoil and darkness, that He has called us into His marvelous, marvelous light and revealed His glorious plan into our hearts, and that we began to develop a new mind, a new creation. Of His own will begat He us. I'm sure that each heart is here, when we leave this place, and I have heard it expressed all throughout the convention many times, this is the best convention I was ever at. Indeed. Because as the years have gone by, we have learned to appreciate more and more the brethren. We have learned to appreciate more and more the precious promises of our God. We have learned to appreciate more and more His goodness and His mercy upon us. We have learned to help one another and to take one another by the hand. And in my closing thoughts, brethren, Now I leave each one of you with this closing prayer. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Balco. Brother Balco asked us to close our service by the use of hymn number 4. Number 4, My Goal is Christ. And after the singing of the last stanza, Brother Balco will close with prayer, and then we would like to have the friends remain seated for some announcements.
Our most kind Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy holy name. May Thy kingdom come. May Thy will be done on earth, even as Thy will is being done in heaven. It is indeed with grateful hearts that we thank Thee for Thy beloved and precious Son, through whom we might approach Thee, through whom we might call Thee our Heavenly Father, and through whom we might walk in Thy truth. It is indeed through His name do we ask Thee and we thank Thee for all Thy goodness and Thy mercy upon us, for each one of these dear brethren, for their experiences, for their lives. We thank Thee that Thou hast invited us here. Thou hast fed us from Thy table. And now we pray, Father, that Thou would continue to go with us, that we might walk with Thee all the days of our life, faithfully, even unto death. These favors and blessings we humbly ask Thee, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.